Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقتروا وكان بين ذلك قواما صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Honorable Ulama, respected elders and brothers in Islam, there is no doubt in the fact that we get bombarded by media in different ways, and there are certain times when the influences of media lure us to do things that sometimes we cannot afford to think of, certain things that are beyond us. And amongst these things is this entire concept of consumerism. We all know this Black Friday craze that goes around for the last few years in our country. And the way it is portrayed and the way the media comes forth, that we begin to want to and desire to purchase things that we cannot really afford or we do not need. When one looks at the definition of consumerism, and I'm not going to dwell on this for very long, but one part of consumerism is to lure an individual to purchase anything and everything, whether we require it or not, whether we can afford it or not. Like somebody once said, that it is buying things that you do not need with the money that you do not have to please people that you do not like. That is the entire concept of consumerism that has portrayed itself ahead of us, in front of us, in the media. You may not want to buy a newspaper, but you will find it coming onto the screens of your cell phone. And there is that percentage of inclination that a human has towards purchasing things that we do not need. Now, when we look at the Quran Sharif, and we look at the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find that there is a very common sense approach to all of this. On the one hand, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks of two concepts in the Quran. Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu wa la tubadhir tabdhira innal mubadhirina kanu ikhwan ash-shayatin. Allah ta'ala speaks about the concept of israf and the concept of tabdhir. Israf is a common term that we use, but the ulama have made a differentiation that in israf, a person spends on something that may be necessary, but he spends beyond the limit. There may be something that is of a basic need, but then he goes beyond that need and he spends more than he is supposed to. That also Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, do not make israf. In tabdhir, an accurate English translation may be the word to squander. That there are things that we do not need, it is not even permissible for us to purchase. But then we go on purchasing. It is not permissible for us to spend in a particular avenue, yet we will spend in that avenue, and the result is that we begin to squander that wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُبَذِّرْ تَبَذِيرًا إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That certainly, those people who squander their wealth, And more often than not, we utilize loans, especially credit cards, to squander money that is not ours. And Allah Ta'ala says that that is the brother of the shayateen. They are the brothers of shayateen. وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانِ And as far as shaytan is concerned, Allah Ta'ala said that he was never ever appreciative to Allah, and this opens the door of being unappreciative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an amazing hadith by one sahabi. His name was Abu Asib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says on one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had emerged from his home. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he walks, he sees Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu sitting on the pathway. He asked Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and this is mind-boggling, that a person like Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes through these conditions. He asked Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, what has brought you out of your home? Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing has brought me out of my home but hunger. In other words, there is nothing for me at home to eat, to consume. He walks a little while with Sayyiduna Abu Bakr. Abu Asib is also with them. And he comes to Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has also stepped out of his home. And Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is asked the same question, O Umar, what has caused you to leave your home? Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also responds similarly, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ju' hunger. There is nothing at home. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the three of them, Abu Asib, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr, Sayyiduna Umar. In one narration, Abu Asib's name is not mentioned. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the house of a particular sahabi. That sahabi was not at home at that moment, but as soon as he knows that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has entered, he comes and he brings to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some water from the well and also some dates whilst he goes out to slaughter an animal. Now that dates is on the dastarkhan, it is on the tablecloth. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partakes. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is partaking. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is eating from there. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a statement, a very pertinent statement. That eat, but latus'alunna an hadhan na'im yawm al-qiyamah. You will certainly be asked about this ni'mat on the day of Qiyamah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is bewildered. If we can just internalize this, several days have passed, we haven't eaten, there's nothing in our home, here is dates that has been presented to us, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to us that you are going to be questioned about this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu takes the branch of the khajur, of the date, and he begins to mildly strike it on the dastarkhan, on the tablecloth, and the dates begin to get loose, and they move towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asked by Sayyidina Umar, are we really going to be asked about this? Is Allah certainly going to question us about this after so many days of hunger? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relentlessly responds, لَتُسْأَلُنَّا أَنْ هَذَا النَّعِيمِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, except for the clothing that you wear, for the food that satisfies your hunger, and the dwelling that gives you protection. Otherwise, the other ni'mats of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to question you about this. Now this is the one aspect with regards to overindulging in our spending, getting carried away, being lured by the various bombardments of media on occasions like this, and then going forward into the month of December, and people begin to purchase, and the result thereafter is man then begins to regret, especially when a person goes into debt. Now with regards to debt, one author put it very well and very beautifully. He said the beginning of a debt is one behaves like an angel. And then at the time to pay that debt, one suddenly becomes a devil. When we are asking for the loan, we will say so many things with such great humility. And as a matter of fact, the word dain in Arabic, according to some scholars of Arabic, dain, the word debt in itself, refers to a humiliation. But when a person is asking for the debt, he behaves like an angel asking for it with such humbleness, such promises of repayment. And then when the time of repayment comes, he begins to act like a devil. Our mother, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates that she heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make a dua consistently. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal ma'tham wal maghram. O Allah, I seek your refuge from sin and also from debt. Now Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was a very intelligent person. She asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you so abundantly make this dua. And to couple the two, sin and debt, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, Aisha, do you know the reality of debt? A person takes a debt, he is not able to pay it, and then what happens? He begins to lie, he begins to hide, and he begins to abscond. And all of that is a great sin in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates, this was either on the same day or three different days, that a janaza was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, does this person have any debt? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't ask about anything else. But does this person owe anyone anything? The response was in the negative. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed that janaza salat. The next time another janaza had come, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, does this person owe anyone? The response was, yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked, did he leave anything in his inheritance, in his estate? The response was, 3 dirhams. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janaza, knowing that whatever was in the estate will be able, the debt will be able to be fulfilled with whatever was in the estate. And then the third person comes, the third janaza comes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the same question. Does this person owe anyone anything? The response was in the affirmative, yes, he has debt. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, has he left anything in his inheritance? They said, there is nothing in the estate. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sallu ala akhikum. You performed the janaza of your brother, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back. Sayyidina Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salli alayhi, perform the janaza salah, I take the responsibility of the debt. That was sahaba. Today, friends, not even our children will take that responsibility. We need to be very, very cautious. Sayyidina Abu Qatada is also the narrator of another hadith that a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I go out in the path of Allah and I fight and I give my life, in other words, I become a shaheed. Now all of us understand that the highest form of a maut is a form of a shaheed, to get shahadat. That is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I face the enemy, I do it sabiran. In other words, I stand persevering. Muhtasiban. Number 2, I have full hope of the reward from Allah. I'm not doing it for purposes of show. There is no taint of nationalism, tribalism, that I'm doing it for any other purpose, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muqbilan. And number three is, I face the enemy not retreating. In other words, I have not violated any of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a mujahid that stands out in the path of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. Would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? Would I get Jannah? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, most certainly. And then the person moves away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls him, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, illa ad-dayn. Allah ta'ala will forgive. Allah will grant you Jannah. But if you are owing someone, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive that. The muhaddithin have written that here is the hukuk and the right of others. And because of that, even the highest form of shahada, that person will be suspended, his rule will be in abeyance until somebody pays the debt or the creditor has that forgiven. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself would not intervene. Sayyidina Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we know and we heard he was the adopted son of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was some need that had arisen. And when that need had arisen, Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu had taken a loan from someone. However, Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu had taken a loan with a long-term payment. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam hears about this. And he says to somebody, go and ask Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that can he guarantee that the food that he puts into his mouth, that morsel, he had the ability, the life to put it into his mouth, does he guarantee that he will live till he swallows it? There is no guarantee of anything. However, can he guarantee then he will live for the repayment of that debt? Now when we look into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also taken a loan from people, loans at different times from people, but the intention and the intent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was something else. A person by the name of Abdullah Huzani. Abdullah Huzani rahimahumullah was a tabi'i. And he says in a place called Halab in Syria, which is known today as Aleppo. He says, I came to Halab and I met this giant. Who was this giant? Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And I knew and I read and I heard with regards to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu's closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insofar as his interaction was concerned. You and I as an ummah, just to digress for a second, we know Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be the muazzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there was another part of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu that we need to know. That he was, in our terms, he was the financial manager of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you take it in the context of a Muslim country, he was the minister of finance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Monies that come in would come to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Monies that will leave from Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this Abdullah Huzani, rahmatullah alayhi, he asked Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu a very unique question. That how was the nafaqa? How was the spending of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? In other words, what was the finance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the financial position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu begins to explain to him. Imam Abu Dawud rahimahumullah gives us bits and pieces of this discussion. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that nothing came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but first it would come into my hand. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would then instruct me to spend. Sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave me to my discretion to spend on the fuqara and the masakeen, on the poor and the impoverished. Nonetheless, he says, on one occasion, a polytheist, a mushrik had come to me, knowing full well my position with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "Oh Bilal, Allah has given me wealth. Don't go to anyone else, but come to me whenever there's a need." Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu had taken the offer. He says, "I borrowed money from this person on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this money would be given out to the fuqara and the masakin. As they would come with the need, I would disperse and I would dispense this wealth to those individuals. I would distribute the wealth." And then came a time when this person came to me. I was engaged in making wudu, and he said to me, "Bilal, very few hours are left for the repayment of the loan." Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Yes, I know there are 4 days left." But Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to Abdullah that that was a time when nothing was coming in for the repayment of this loan. And hence, a fear gripped me. A day passed, the second day passed, and now I go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I say, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nothing." And this man, he said to me that if I do not pay this loan back, if I do not repay the loan, then he is going to send me back to the pastures and once again I will become a shepherd. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, give me permission so that I may leave till we get some relief." Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said nothing. Bilal said, "I went to sleep. That night I had my sword in my hand. I had a few things that I had prepared for a journey to leave and from Medina to go to the outskirts. But there was nothing from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before Fajr, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent someone to call me. The person calls me and I go. And when I go in, as I'm ushered into the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I see 4 camels that are laden with goods. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, "Oh Bilal, what do you see?" I explained to him, "This is what I see." He said, "Bilal, go and pay your debt back. Whatever you have loaned from this person, the time has not lapsed. It's not a late payment. Go and pay it back." Friends, this is one of the very important lessons we learn from the sunnah of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go and pay that debt back immediately. Even the time has not lapsed, due date has not come. Pay it off so that we know that is done. And thereafter, when I came back to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked me, "Bilal, is it paid?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh Bilal, is there anything left?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Bilal, now distribute this to the fuqara and the masakin, to the impoverished, the poor of Medina Munawwara. Whoever you find, wherever, give it out. Open your heart and give it out. And oh Bilal, give me rahat." In other words, give me ease, peace and comfort. The day passes, the night comes, it is Isha. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, "Oh Bilal, what has happened?" I said, "Ya Rasulullah, I had distributed and distributed. Not many people had come on the one hand, but on the other hand, there is much left." Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Bilal, then I will not go home. I will not go home, I will sleep in Masjid al-Nabawi." Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept in the masjid because he had no rahat. He was not comforted. He was not pacified. There was no solace because what was there was not disbursed. It was not distributed. The next day, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to Abdullah, "I went on that mission once again. And again I distributed and distributed. By the time of Isha, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, 'Bilal, do you give me rahat now? Is there solace? Is there comfort?' I said, 'Ya Rasulullah, to the cent, everything has been distributed.'" Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Isha Salah, went home. Friends, we learn a lot from this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whilst he had taken loans in his life, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a different mission. We know the incident, we know the story of that young boy that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, "My mother requests that you give your chadar, your cloth." Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the young man, that "I have nothing besides this cloth. I have nothing else to cover my body." The person goes back, And he comes again to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my mother insists that you give her this cloth. Allah's Nabi had given the cloth. Now the satr was covered, but Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not feel he was in a position to leave his room. The time of salah comes in, Sayyidina Bilal calls the adhan, he calls Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Bilal, get me a piece of cloth so I can be presentable to come out. So that was how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen wealth. That was the attitude of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Coming back, the important aspect is, one is israf, to spend more than is necessary. One is tabdi, to squander in things that are haram. Remember that very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whilst many of us are very cautious about how we earn, but the hadith says, we will also be asked about where we spent our wealth. How did we spend our wealth? In the obedience of Allah or in the disobedience of Allah? So in these days when we have all the media that is glaring in front of us with all the specials, temptation we insan, it would come. We have to ask the question, number one, do I need it? Number two, can I afford it? If I need it and I afford it, by all means. If I need it and I cannot afford it, then we should wait till Allah Ta'ala makes some means. And if we do not need it, don't even consider it. And that is the very clear cut Quran and Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Those that are in debt, may Allah Ta'ala relieve us of those debts. Those who are ill and sick, Allah grant them shifa. Those who have left us, Allah Ta'ala grant them the highest of Jannatul Firdaus. Brothers, before the sunnah salah, there's a nikah to perform. Then we'll perform, then we'll make our sunnah, inshallah.